Hello and good evening, Viking fans. Viking football is back on the air. I'm Ryan Denning alongside Siusla alum Michael Mason. And tonight we come to you from historic Pete Sussex Field, home of the Marshfield Pirates for the last 73 years. Marshfield opened their season with a 41-30 win over Crater last week on the road, and will try to make it two straight tonight. For Siusla, this is the first test of the year and an early chance to set the tone for the season. We've got all the action, the big plays, and the energy of Friday Night Lights coming your way right here on KCST, the home of Viking sports. Kickoff is just minutes away, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Cut your heating bill by as much as half and get air conditioning when you need it, all while reducing your impact on the environment. How? With a ductless heat pump from Florence Heating and Sheet Metal. Ductless heat pumps from Florence Heating and Sheet Metal can be installed easily in just about any home or business. Save money on your heating and cooling costs. Find out how at Florence Heating and Sheet Metal, 1645 Kingwood Street in the Business Park. Florence Heating and Sheet Metal, CCB 64.
Hi, this is Darren Hunt with Hunt Family Dentistry. My grandfather opened our practice in 1952, and I'm proud to continue the tradition of providing quality dentistry in the Florence community. We provide a full list of services to meet your dental needs, including dental implants. Give us a call today at 997-7181. Visit us online at huntfamilydentistry.com.
Welcome back to Vikings football here on Coast Radio Sports, the home of Viking athletics. It's the season opener for Siusla as they take on the Marshfield Pirates. As I mentioned before the break, I'm joined in the booth tonight by Siusla alum and former Viking football player Michael Mason. Michael, great to have you here.
Good to be here. I'm honored. Ready to watch some ball.
It honestly feels too good to be true to have football season back, and here we are on Friday night lights again. It's an incredible feeling, but I don't know if you remember this, Michael, but last time we were here together, we went on to beat this Marshfield Pirates team in 2014 in the first round of the 4A state champion or playoffs, and that was a pretty good win. So hopefully, yeah, Siusla can make that happen again.
Have silence that cannon, right?
Most definitely. And enough about the past, but let's focus on the future. Siusla is aiming to set the tone for Coach Sam Johnson's seventh year as the head coach of the Siusla Vikings, where he looks to add another win to his strong history as the head coach of the Vikes. We'll talk more about Siusla team and staff quickly, but before that, we're going to do one more break from our sponsors. Siusla football is back. Ryan Denning and Michael Mason here on Coast Radio Sports. Before the break, we were talking about the Vikings team that went 9-1 last year. We lost some key pieces, obviously, with seniors like Max Reynolds and Joel Stissel and Justin Allen. And last night we got to talking to Coach Sam Johnson on the point after, and thought it was really neat. I went ahead and asked him, hey, Coach, you know, how do you fill shoes like those? How do you have a Max Reynolds out of the backfield who just provides such a you know, explosiveness out of that backfield? And how do you fill that role? And you know what he said, Mike?
What did he say?
He said, you don't try to fill it. You allow these new players to come up and just kind of do their own thing, be their own players, have their own characters that they bring to the table. And I think that's an awesome thing. Especially out of high school students, just to go out there and tell them to be themselves and have fun and play this game. So I thought that was neat. But speaking of those leaders, we've got multiple seniors here on this Vikings team. We've got captains for the Vikes being Micah Blankenship, Will Johnson, Jake Mann, and Colin Barnett. And we are kicking it off to the national anthem here. So we're going to take one more break and be back for game time. Welcome back to Pete Sussex Stadium, and we're here on Friday night, and boy, does it just feel good. The marching band's on the field again for the first time in months. They just played the national anthem, and guys are out there getting warmed up, hitting helmets. And Mike, how does it feel to be up in the booth for the first time?
Man, it feels great. These lights are on, that marine layer's coming in. It just reminds me of what it was like to take that first game. You mentioned this is going to be a game where a lot of guys need to step up. I think Sam and all of his other players are going to be looking for those guys to take leadership roles tonight. It's the first game of the season, so we're going to maybe see some penalties. We're going to see some stuff ironed out, but nonetheless, it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, 62 degrees, and like you said, that marine layer is rolling in, and it just feels like fall. You know, it rained last night. There was a little bit of lightning and thunder overnight, and it's kind of just made the air a little bit chillier and feel like it's football season, so it's good to be back. And quick question, if you had to narrow this game down, what would you say the keys to success on both sides of the football are going to be?
Well, we had a bite to eat before this, and we were talking about, you know, both offenses here. I think it is going to come down to the trenches. Whoever establishes that run first, there's going to be a lot of action on the inside. I see some big kids out here. I think it's just going to be knocking heads and, like I said, just ironing out those things as the game goes on. But I truly think it's going to be one on the ground tonight.
Yeah, and two of the names that Coach Sam Johnson threw out last night on the point after, number 55, Skylar Folau, a junior that weighs in at 265 and stands at 6'5", and the senior, Jameson Batdorf. And he said if you don't have to say their names a lot on the radio, we're doing something right. And that just goes down to establishing things in the trenches, like you just said. And a former Vikings football player, like I mentioned earlier, an offensive lineman, the Veer is still very prominent here at Sisseton, and it's such a deep tradition.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to go out there and establish that dominance right off the bat as an offensive lineman in the Veer offense?
Well, you know, the Veer offense, a lot rides on the quarterback. The quarterback has to do a lot in the beginning, has to read a lot fast. But yeah, these old linemen, they got to get off the line quick. They're going to have to hit these linebackers fast to give that quarterback something to read, right? But from my personal experience, I mean, I'm gritting my teeth up here. I'm excited to watch, and it was such an exciting feeling to know you could get off that ball faster than the guy across from you and just pop those linebackers and get those alleys opened up for those running backs. And like I said, it's going to be one on the ground.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, this Marshfield team, they're speedy. They've got some athletes out there. A couple guys like Luke Frey, Hayden Whittycomb, Lane Olson. Those are guys we're going to be saying their names a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like to get to the ball to the edge, try to wear down that defense. But Coach Sam Johnson has kind of a same personality when it comes to football as Coach Tim Dotson, who coached you and I. And,
yep.
You know, he said, we may not be the biggest team out there on Friday night, but nobody will ever beat us when it comes to endurance. And
yep.
Like you said, being able to have that quick first step on the offensive and defensive line all mm-hmm. four quarters, it proves to be a pretty pivotal thing.
Yeah, and keep doing it.
Oh,
it's a big thing.
Most
four
definitely.
Quarters.
Most yep. definitely. Yeah, you're out here, and it's from the first whistle to the very last whistle.
Yep.
But we're going to go ahead. Both teams are headed to their sidelines. We're going to have captains out here in just a second. So we're going to take one last break prior to kickoff here, and we'll have the coin toss when we get back. Welcome back to 106.9 KCSP, the home of the Vikings Athletics, and back here at Pete Sussex Stadium. And, gosh, I don't know – for those viewers out there, if you have never been to a football game here or an event in general, this stadium is truly one of a kind. It just feels like something out of a movie. The away section is just big. It's all made out of concrete.
The AstroTurf.
It's beautiful. You know, they just added 5 new press boxes for families to sit up on in the away section. And I know the Johnson family is up there tonight. They were invited. You know, they told the athletic director, we're going to be wearing Sisseton stuff and cheering for Sisseton. And they said, that's not an issue. You know, your family played such a key role in this school's history, and it's a very rich history at that.
Yeah, you always felt it when you came here, that's for sure.
Most definitely. And we mentioned the Sisseton captains. We can go over those one more time. We have quarterback number 4, Micah Blankenship. Will Johnson, running back and DB, number 5. Jake Mann, offensive and defensive lineman, number 53. And Colin Barnett, offensive lineman and defensive lineman, number 78. And for the Pirates tonight, captains are going to be number 7, Devin Peterson. He's a wide receiver. He's a senior as well. Caleb Fox, who is another senior. He's one of their main contributors at the running back position. We have JT Stewart, a junior, stands at 5'9". Or, sorry, I misspoke there. Number 55, Skylar Folau, the big guy. Junior, 6'5", 265, and the last one is number 63, Bryson Harvey. And he is a senior as well on that offensive and defensive line. It's going to be, just getting out and getting started quickly. Did you, I was looking down reading, did you see who won that coin toss?
I was reading as well. That'd be a mistake. I believe Sisseton won when I looked up.
Okay, and if they won, it would not surprise me. Coach Sam Johnson likes getting the ball first,
mm-hmm.
so it wouldn't be surprising me if Sisseton returned this kickoff to get things going offensively. But week one for us, too, and my first time ever doing play-by-play, your first time ever doing caller commentary. So
nope.
I just cannot stress enough how much, Bob, Bob Sneddon meant to this and how smooth he made it run. So week one for us as well, there's going to be some errors and mistakes along the way, but we're here to learn just the same. But teams are taking the field here. We have Marshfield going to be kicking it off to the Vikings, back deep to receive. We have, for the Vikings, Will Johnson and, oh no, sorry, mistaken there. That is going to be, I believe, Caleb and Dylan Gray. Numbers are a little bit hard.
Yeah, Will Johnson's out there, number five.
Perfect. It's going to be one of those things. You know, last year you get so used to saying the same names going back deep to return, and we got some new faces, new numbers, but it's going to be Will Johnson back deep to return. Got 12 minutes left on the clock, and obviously the first quarter is about to get underway here at Pete Sussex Stadium.
Yeah, people yelling, stadium's still filling up. Got a good night of football ahead of us, I feel like.
Pretty good turnout, most definitely. Well, the ball is set. Kicker is rearing back to let it run, and then the Sysaw football season is about to be underway. Checks with his left, checks with his right, approaches the ball, and boots it. Not a big kick, kind of squib in the middle of no man's land. It's going to be returned for down the sideline, making people miss left and right. It's going to be Gray. And he gets about 4 yards on the return. Saislaw's going to take over on their own, let's call it the 23-yard line.
Yeah, it looked like he had to do some toe stepping up there on the sideline, but stayed in bounds and was able to get a few more yards on that return.
Yeah, and it was headed out of bounds and kind of just checked up nicely. I think he was going to just let it roll out, and it just stopped right there. And as you know, if Marshfield picked that up, it would have been a fumble recovery. So Saislaw's going to take over on their own 24-yard line. Blankenship checking over with his line as they approach. Stands under center. He's got two backs in the backfield. Two receivers out. It's going to be Tom.
Oh, got a ball start.
Already got.
Yeah, like I said, they're going to need to iron out a few of these false starts here.
Yeah, and, you know, first game of the season, some jitters. Players are high-fiving, saying, hey, no, not a big deal. Let's just go out there and make it happen. Another one of those new guys that we have for Saislaw is going to be Tom Morgan, senior, who transferred from Reedsport High School. He was the speedster that Sam Johnson mentioned on the point after last night. Same formation. Blankenship approaches the line of scrimmage here. He's going to be under center. Two backs to the backfield. One tight end tight. They're going to hand it off inside. Oh, my goodness. Ball's on the football. The football's on the ground already, and it's going to be a turnover for the Vikings. Marshfield jumps on that loose ball, and it just got punched free.
Yeah, no, it was a good tackle. I saw his arm come across. He just punched that ball out. I mean, he had the hole, but like I said, he's just going to have to iron out these first few mistakes. This first quarter might be quite a bit of learning to do out here.
Yeah, and Marshfield's going to take over on the 24-yard line of Saislaw's territory. It's going to be Enoch Niblett at the quarterback position. You just got to settle in week one, but you got to try to limit them and what they can do here defensively early on in this game. Enoch Niblett's out of the shotgun formation. He's got a back behind him. Two receivers out to both sides, split out wide. Checks to his left. He's got motion from Luke Frey. Luke Frey takes it.
Balls out again.
Oh, my goodness. Falls down.
Ball.
Saislaw's pointing their direction.
I think Saislaw's got it. They're fighting.
Well, it's going to be...
They're ripping and tearing for it.
I know. It looks like the referee's calling for Marshfield potentially to maintain possession here. And it's going to be Marshfield football. But two plays from scrimmage here and two fumbles. It's been a little bit sloppy. Marshfield, however, has had 1 week to warm up. They had that win on the road last week against Prater. So a little bit more of an ability to iron out those mistakes early. Enoch Niblett looking to the sideline for a call. He's getting the call from his coach on the sidelines. That's offensive coordinator Blake Stentman sending that in from the sidelines, but he's going to be out of the shotgun. He's got number 23, Caleb Fox, split to his right, bunch formation out wide right, one receiver left. Looks, goes to throw to the flat receiver, falls. He just takes it himself. He goes up to the middle, out to the outside. He's down to the 15-yard line. And that was just a good heads-up play there by Enoch Niblett. He had looked out to throw it to the receiver. I don't know if it was a little bit of, try to throw off the DBs and the team, but the receiver fell right away. And instead of throwing it, he just tucked it and took off.
Yeah, so Saislaw did a great job of breaking down that pocket quick. You see, he had to make such a quick decision to get out of there, and he just did a great job.
Yeah, and talking to some of the coaches around town this week, they said, number one, Enoch Nibble, it's something to watch. They said his legs are definitely something to be careful of. Oh, he's going to be out of the shotgun again. No surprise there. He's got Caleb Fox to his left. Gets in communication there with Chandler Wyatt, wide receiver to his left. Three out right. Takes the snap. Looks, hands it off. That's Fox out the right, out down the right side, and he's going to pick up about 4 yards. And so he's not saying that football came out. They're pointing. And the referees are going to say, nope, he was down on the ground. So, again, rough football, but Saisaw just got to break down and tackle there early. Again, looking for the sign. Got Luke Frey moving out of the backfield. Got number 23 again, Caleb Fox back there with him. Going to be working out of the shotgun, looking from the sidelines for the call, communicating with his running back. He's got Caleb Fox split out right. Matt now moves to his left. Two receivers out each direction, working out of the shotgun again. Sends motion to his right side, turns, pitches it around to the outside. He's got the edge, and that is going to be down to the 2 yard line. That's Luke Frey on the carry. Small guy, 5'5", 120, but boy, did he get that edge quick.
Looked like number one, Bryce Franzoni for Siuslaw, just got off his guy and just couldn't quite get him. He was swinging out too wide to catch him, but he did do a good job getting off that line and getting around the offensive lineman there.
Yeah, and you played a little bit of edge. You just got to know the number one role for you is to set that edge.
Yep.
Don't let
yep.
anybody go outside of you, and it kind of slipped up there and let him outside. But Faisal avoids the score here for Marshfield. Got Enoch Niblett out of the shotgun. One running back to his right, sends motion again. That's Luke Frey. Fakes it to him. Takes it up the middle, and that's going to be a touchdown for these Marshfield Pirates to start the scoring tonight. 6-0 with 9:39 left in the first quarter, and the first cannon goes off here at Pete Sussex Stadium. What did you see there, Mike?
I'm seeing a lot of quick reaction off both sides of the line. I'm liking what I'm seeing. It's just, I think Marshfield was just a little quicker there, and man, this quarterback, he's quick on his feet. They weren't lying.
And we've got kind of a gate formation. We have the long snapper and I believe the holder by themselves. Now the entire line motions back to the middle, and they're going to set up for the PAT. In to kick is Mallory Ed, a female senior standing at 5'6", on to boot this one. The snap, the hold, and it's going to be blown dead here. Believe it was good, but the Pirates are going to go ahead and take a timeout prior to that PAT, and an interesting call there, maybe. I mean, the field goal was good, but I must have seen something that they want to try to take advantage of and potentially go for two here.
Yeah, with that set, I don't know if they were trying to do something a little bit more than the PAT, and there was a miscommunication there. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it's a weird formation. They've got the entire line split out to the numbers outside the hash marks on the left side set there, and it looks like they can just turn and throw a quick screen pass and try to just kind of mow you over into the end zone for that two-point conversion. But got a couple players switching out here for the Pirates. We got Brandon Wendelin coming in, a sophomore, 5'6", 140, coming in for Nicoya Pruitt. A couple more transitions on and off the field, and just look a little bit confused as to what's going on here, and PATs can be confusing too, I guess. And they're just going to set up to, yeah, looks like, kick a field goal here. I've never seen almost icing your own kicker.
Yeah. Those edge rushers for Siuslaw got off the ball quick on that one. I would not be surprised if this gets blocked here if they do the same thing they did last time.
I did tell Jackson Johnson I expected a Will Johnson block here tonight, but the PAT is up and good. It's going to be 7-0. Here at Marshfield Stadium, 9:39 left in this first quarter, and we're going to take a break from our sponsors. Welcome back to Pete Sussex Stadium. We got 9:39 left on the clock. Marshfield about to boot it deep to Siuslaw with a score of 7-0 here in the first quarter. Ben Barker to kick off. Will Johnson and Tom Morgan back deep to receive. Kind of a squibber up the middle, and it's just jumped on by Siuslaw.
it's hard to do anything against a kick like that. I remember returning middleman. I was usually front five, but in the middle there when they kick like that, it's hard to do anything with it. You just don't want to risk that ball bouncing off any part of your extremities and getting back to the other team.
Yeah, good heads-up play there by number nine, Dylan Gray, just to jump on top of it. He's an athlete. We know that. Last year came out and made some plays for Stanislaw, but don't risk it. You know, you already had the one turnover. Well, go out there and let your offense do the thing, and that's what we're about to do. Michael Blankenship's going to be under center here. Two backs in the backfield, one tight end tight to his left, one receiver out to the right. Turns, hands it off up the middle, and that's going to be Will Johnson. About a pickup of two, just about 3 yards there on first down. And, you know, just get settled in here. No turnovers early, and just start running the rock like we know Saifaw to do so well.
Yeah, you can see Marshfield closing down in the middle there over the top of the center. They know what's coming here. They know Saifaw wants to establish the run and run the ball, so Saifaw's got to respond.
Definitely. Blankenship under center again. Same formation, two backs in the backfield. Turns, same thing, hands it off. That's going to be Will Johnson. He's breaking outside, turns up upfield, and he's going to be down right about the 50-yard line. Pickup of about 10 yards, and he got bottled up quick at that line of scrimmage and just kind of kept the knees churning.
Yep, kept them churning, bounce outside. That's all it takes with speed like that.
Yeah, and we've seen these guys grow so much from freshman year now to senior year to put on some weight, and that obviously helps us running back. Same formation, Blankenship under center. He's going to turn, hand it, same exact play. That's going to be Will Johnson up the gut, and he's going to pick up about 8 yards.
Man, I got to give a shout-out to number 78, big Colin Barnett on that one. He just flattened that middle linebacker to open up that hole for him.
And that's what you know, I've been able to watch film, and the first step for this Saifaw O-line has been so quick all offseason that I've only been able to see it get quicker. Same formation, Blankenship under center. This time he's going to send Tom Morgan in motion behind him. He's going to hand it off the outside. The speedster around the edge tries getting it. He gets it. He picks up, turns upfield, and that's going to be about an 8 yard, 6-7 yard gain. And very patient runner there for Tom Morgan. Don't know his background in football. I know he's a sprinter. He comes from Reedsport, but for someone that's so speedy, to be patient there is pretty important.
Yeah, Will Johnson swung out there and had a good lead block going and got him that few extra yards there.
Again, same formation, same, you know, with this veer, you have so many things you can run out of it, but we got Blankenship under center once again, both backs in the backfield with Gray and Johnson. Tom Morgan out that wide. He's going to hand it off. That's Will Johnson. He's going to go left this time and bottled up. Going to be, pickup of one, about 2 yards now, second and eight. We've got 7:40 left on the clock. Clock's running here in the first quarter. Saifaw is down 7-0. Blankenship looking over to the sideline. He's got head coach Sam Johnson signaling in what he's got going. And we got Andy Johnson up in the booth. He kind of gets an overview from what he sees up top, and they relay back and forth, both Sam and Andy. He's got the sign now. First time out of the shotgun. Looks, turns, throws left. That's going to be Will Johnson out to the right side. Gets to the edge. Great blocking in front of him. And just patient running once again, following lead blocks. And he's going to pick up about 3 yards. First pass of the day for Saifaw.
Yeah, it looked good. Number 70, Owen Burt, did a good job getting off the line and getting that lead block going. It's just he got wrapped around on by that outside linebacker. And
yeah,
still a good game.
There's some athletes for sure, and just those little chunk plays that can add up so quickly for this Veers-styled offense. Blankenship under center. He's got one back this time. It's going to be Gray. He's going to turn, hand it to him. Almost pulls it last second. And
we got the ball out.
Yeah, whenever you pull it last second like that, you risk a fumble. And
he wanted to pull it.
Put it on the ground, and luckily Saifaw is going to recover that. But we got a fourth and one here. Fourth and two.
That's what's so tough about the Veer offense. It's a lot of pressure on that quarterback. I heard you guys talking about it last night, but if anyone's going to do it, you guys talked about how prepared Micah Blankenship is for this role, and you could tell he really wanted to pull it there and just a little late to the decision.
Yep. 6 minutes left in the first quarter. ball on the 26-yard line here. Blankenship takes the snap, hands it around. That's going to be Will Johnson, picks up the first down. He's going to hit the edge. He's going. He trucks the defender, and he is down to about the 7-yard line. A nice hard-nosed run there for the senior.
That's what we like to see.
It's so weird saying that senior for Will Johnson. Seen him grow up, but that was a grown man run right there. Just hits the edge and picks up some steam and just trucks the DB out there in the flat.
They can smell the end zone here. They want it.
Yeah, that's going to bring the Vikings down to about the 9-yard line. Blankenship's going to be under center here. He's got two backs in the backfield, two tight ends up tight, and he's going to hand it. It's going to be Gray up the gut, right up just short of the goal line. They're going to mark him about a half yard short, and wow, just hard nose. They really start to see these Vikings just pick up, get to their blocks quickly, and spring things free.
Looks like speeding things up here, trying to get in the goal line quick.
Yep, Blankenship from the 1-yard line, under center, turns, gives it, and then he just kind of tush-pushes right into the end zone, and that is going to be a tight Vikings touchdown here. 7-6 is the score with 5 minutes and 4 seconds left here in the first quarter, and the offense is staying out there for two.
That's what you got to do with this run. We keep talking about it, but you got to establish that run, and that's just what they did right there. You saw they got back on the line so quick because they were so close. You don't want to give that defense any time to read what you're doing.
Yeah, and like we said earlier on, Saislaw's got some endurance. You know, this O-line, they're big and stout for Saislaw, but there's some endurance there. You're not going to wear them down easily. And it's going to be Blankenship here under center, turns, gives it Johnson up the gut. He's going to bounce it outside and score the two-point conversion. Saislaw takes the lead with 5 minutes and 4 seconds left here in the first quarter, 8-7. Wow, what a great drive for Saislaw there. And caps it off there with a touchdown to Gray and Will Johnson capping it off with the two-point conversion. But we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors and be back after that. Welcome back to Pete Sussick. We have Will Johnson, who just punched it in for two, back deep to kick it for the Vikings. Boots it deep and back deep to receive for this Marshfield Pirates team is going to be Junior Whitmer. Whitmer goes around to the right side, gets to the edge, and he's tackled right about the 29-yard line. Pretty good return for them, but we have some quick shout-outs to give here. We have longtime supporter. I'll let you take over from there, Mike.
Yeah, we got to give a quick shout-out to my mom, Terry Mason. We know she's a if you will, super fan. I remember growing up, every game it wasn't a matter of if you heard her in the stands, it was a matter of when. So we just want to give a quick shout out to all those super loyal, loud Viking fans tonight.
More like when you didn't hear her.
Yeah.
She is incredible and bleeds blue and gold, that's for sure. But Marshfield's going to take over once again on their own 30-yard line. It's going to be Enoch Niblett working as the quarterback once again. He's going to be in the shotgun, looks to the sideline for a call. He's got Caleb Fox out foot to his right, two receivers to his right, two left. He sends one in motion, left to right. Looks, gives, turns it to number 80, and that's going to be about a 6-yard carry for number 80 for these Marshfield Pirates, Chandler Wyatt. And not much speed out of Wyatt there, but he had good blocking out in front of him and was able to make a pretty good gain out of it.
Yeah, it looks like he's running up tall. I think the Vikings can take advantage of that, hit him low. I think the edge rushers did a good job collapsing again and made him make a decision to go up the center and leave it to the middle linebackers.
Yeah, most definitely. And we're going to have Niblett working out of the shotgun formation again. A little bit of bunch set up in the backfield, almost like a wing T set up with his running backs back here. Sends number two in motion. He's going to be handing it up the gut. Good chunk, but
great hit.
Micah Blankenship doing his things on both sides of the football, comes up and sticks him for a good hit right just short of the line, line to gain. And we've got a hurt player. Yeah, that's going to be number 23 for these Pirates.
Yeah, that was a good pop.
Yeah, it was. Caleb Fox, one of the captains of this Pirate team, is down and hurting. So no need to sit and talk about that one right now. We're going to send it out for a quick 30-second break. All right, we're back here at Pete Sussick. We had number 23 for these Marshfield Pirates go down, Caleb Fox, but he comes off a little gingerly. These Pirates have a fresh set of downs, first and 10 on their own 40-yard line. Niblett out of the gun, sends a receiver in motion, hands it to him to the outside. He's got the edge. He's going, cuts back inside. That's about a 18-yard gain for these Pirates, and boy, do they have some speedsters. That's Hayden Whittycomb, the senior, stint at 5'9", and gosh, he just got to the edge so quickly there.
Yeah, he did. It looked like number 53, Jake Mann, was able to eventually catch him, but yeah, he just got that edge quick and shot upfield.
Yeah, and I mean, saying Jake Mann there in speed, we had Hayden Whittycomb just showing off the wheels, but the big man, Jake Mann, defensive lineman and captain for this Vikings team, chasing him down, and that's a name we're going to be saying a lot. He is just a terror in that defensive line for this Vikings team. Niblett out of the gun, same bunch formation this time, but this time to the left. Pops for the football as he sends a receiver in motion, fakes the handoff, cuts it out to the outside of the right, and he's stuck. Absolutely stuck by Will Johnson. About a 1 yard pickup and a great open field tackle for Johnson there.
Man, I watched Will collapse way before that quarterback decided to run to the outside. That was a great play by him.
Yeah, and you know, you dial up some of that to watching film, but yeah. Will Johnson is just he's got such a head on his shoulders and such a smart kid that he can kind of see things prior to them happening, and we've seen that his sophomore year frequently, his junior year, and obviously now into his senior year.
Reminds me a little bit of our good friend Preston Mitchell that was back there.
I get the same exact feeling. Just kind of plays like his hair is on fire.
Yep.
No fear in that Johnson kid at all. Niblett going to be working out of the gun here. He's got a bunch formation to his right. Three receivers out there. Two to his left. Sends one in motion left to right. Hands it to the outside. That's going to be Hayden Whittycomb again. Whittycomb cuts up field. And again, just before you know it, he's got about an 8 yard gain.
Got a short third down here.
Yep, 2 minutes and 6 seconds here in the first quarter. Sisla has the lead right now, 8-7. And again, first time calling play-by-play here. I got to get in the habit of saying score and time left on the clock a little bit more frequently. So hang with me there. But I'm going to make that a point of emphasis here this season and trying to make sure I get better there. But Whittycomb, he's just got some wheels on him.
Yeah, he does. We got about a 3rd and 2 here.
3rd and 2 here, minute 38 left in the first quarter.
I wouldn't be surprised if they try and do something outside.
Yep. We've got Niblett in the backfield. Turns, that's going to be the running back in the game that just went down, number 23, Caleb Fox, and he's got about enough to get the first down here. It's going to be right at that line of gain, and they're going to go ahead and mark him short. So we got 4th and short here on the 30-yard line of these, or I guess the Sisla 30 right here. And it's good to see Caleb Fox, captain of this Marshfield Pirates team, back in the game and bouncing around feeling good after he was shaken up earlier.
Now they're leaving the offense out.
Yep, they're going to be decided to go for it here. 52 seconds and running in the first quarter, and Niblett's going to be working out of the gun real close. You could pretty much almost guarantee a quarterback sneak here, but instead they decide to go out of the gun. Three receivers to his left, one to the right. And they're going to turn, hand it to the left, and oh my goodness, in for the score from 30 yards out is the captain, Caleb Fox. Just a wide open hole for him, goes untouched for the score, and that's going to give the lead 13-8 back to the Marshfield Pirates, a back and forth ball game here, and the cannon fires one more time here at Pete Sussex.
Yeah, so you saw the right idea here. I mean, they knew something was coming up the middle, but they sent a blitz. It just wasn't the right gap.
Yeah, and I mean, it really formed real quick for them. And I mean, by the time he was 4 yards downfield, he was all but gone.
Yep.
With the speed that this Marshfield Pirates team brings to the table, they're going to go ahead, line it up, and
they went for it.
Have arguably, they have the gate formation out here to the left, and they're going to go ahead and pitch it out to a receiver. He's going to be tackled. Oh my goodness, what in the world was that? By the time you can pretty much see what formation they're in, they have about 7 players completely set out, and then they have the long snapper and the holder by themselves in the middle of the field, and kind of a weird one to explain, that gate formation. They turn and just throw it to the wide receiver there, and I mean, he went 3 yards backwards. There was nowhere to go.
Yeah. Well, the hope is with the line there that they can just march in, like you said earlier. I definitely think Sayuswa watched that play a lot on film.
Yeah.
They were ready for it, for sure.
And I was told, and I didn't get game film last week against freighter on them at all. But I was told that they can line up in it a lot and didn't run anything out of it. So tried maybe catching Sisal on their heels there, but Marshfield was caught themselves on their heels more than anything there, as the line did not look prepared for that one. We've got 30 seconds left here in this first quarter, and we've got Baker back to kick it off to the Vikings. Tom Morgan and Will Johnson back deep to return. 13-8 is the score here. Marshfield has the lead. Baker approaches the ball, squibs it up the middle again. This time it's going to go out to Tom Morgan, the speedster. He picks it up. He's going to be going. Will Johnson lays the wood, and he springs him through for about a 15-yard run. And it was a clean hit, but the ref throws the flag on it.
I don't agree with that at all. No.
It's called football, and you're supposed to use your body. And Will Johnson just got the better of the Marshfield Pirates player there, and enough so that it's going to draw a flag.
I don't like that. I almost wonder, though, there was some head nodding and some talking back and forth.
Yeah, personal foul.
Unsportsmanlike conduct. Yep.
Unsportsmanlike conduct.
No, that was an illegal blindside block. I don't see that there.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't like that.
We can disagree all we want, but it was called at the end of the day, and that's going to be 15 yards against this Vikings team, and it was a heck of a block. Let me tell you that.
He's going to replay that one on film, that's for sure.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Sisal backs it up 15 yards and 24 seconds left in this first quarter, 13-8. Pirates have the lead, and they're going to mark that one down on the Sisal 11. So, nice long drive here set up for the Vikings in their own territory. Blankenship regathers himself and the team on the 11-yard line, looks to the sideline for a signal from head coach Sam Johnson. O-line is down on a knee, so Blankenship's able to see from that angle. Not the biggest of statures for Blankenship, but boy, does he make up for it in his brain and his athleticism. He's going to be under center here, two backs in the backfield, two receivers out to his left, turns, hands it. He's just wants to pull it and just go ahead and mark it down as a getting back to the line of scrimmage, if anything. Wanted to pull it from the running back. I didn't see who that was, and that's going to be it here in the first quarter as things start to wind down. 15 seconds left.
Call it there.
Yeah, and if you're going to pull it, you know, you got to be on the same page there. You got to be decisive and yank it out quickly and take off. And we saw the ball put on the ground earlier on that touchdown drive for the Vikings, and luckily nothing bad happens there. But we're going to – never mind, they're going to – stop the clock with 6 seconds left as both teams are on their sidelines here.
Yeah, no harm, no foul there. I mean, the ball was secured, but I think we keep going back to it. That's just going to be one of those things he's got to iron out. He's got to get the feel for, and it might take a quarter or two. But
yeah, most definitely. Well, we have the refs signaling for the clock to run. Clock operator has yet to send it, but they're moving and flipping the field. So we're going to take a minute here and be back here for the second quarter. Welcome back for the second quarter here at Pete Sussex Stadium. We have the Pirates with a score of 13-8, and we're going to have Blankenship out quickly here under center. He's going to look, turn, hand it off to the right side. That's going to be Will Johnson up the gut for about a pickup of 3, maybe 4 on that one, and the Vikings are quick to get back on the ball here. Blankenship sending Tom Morgan over to the right side. Back to the left he goes. Yelling back and forth to receivers and his O-line, communicating with them, back to the backs. Under center, he's got two backs in the backfield. Turns, looks, takes the handoff, and he is absolutely blindsided. Number 42 for this Pirate team was not tricked at all on that one. That's Fox Wheatley for the staff. Just came unblocked.
You know, completely unblocked. There's nothing he can do about that. Like you said, it's a blindside. He had no idea it was coming.
Yeah, and I thought it was sold pretty well, and I was even able to see the ball from my vantage point, but Fox Wheatley was not fooled at all, sniffed that one out pretty handily, and it's going to be fourth down and 13 here with the punt team coming onto the field. Back deep to punt looks to be Bryce Franzoni, the senior, tight end as well. He's in his own end zone, fumbles this. Snap, and he doesn't catch it. He's going to be running, scrambling for his life here. He's going to be tackled at about the 15-yard line, and I mean, obviously not an ideal situation there when you don't catch the snap in your own end zone, but able to get 15 yards away from that one, wasn't able to pick up the first down, and Vikings are going to turn it over on downs. It was a great snap.
It was.
I almost looked like he wasn't quite ready for it.
Yeah, looked a little preemptive there. I don't think he knew it was coming right then.
Yeah. Well, the Pirates are going to take over here on their own 14-yard line, and that is not ideal for this Vikings team. We got one turnover on downs and one fumble so far early on in this game.
They got a lot of work right here.
Yeah, and that's this defense got quite the task here. Marshfield on their own 14-yard line.
Bunch that.
Nibble it out of the gun. Bunch that to his left. One receiver out, split to the right. He's going to turn, hand it up the gut. And Saifa holds strong there up the middle interior defensive line as Jaden Tice is stuffed with about a 6-inch gain. 2nd and 9 here for the Pirates. It was a good stop.
Looked like Jake Rose, number 75 for Saifa on the tackle there. He did a great job.
Yeah, Jake Rose, son of lineman coach John Rose, and his older brother, they call him Little John, and little in air quotes, he could stuff me in a locker easily. he's a big kid.
Might be able to stuff me.
But Jake Rose with a good stick there in the interior D-line, and Niblett's going to be out of the gun again. A little bit of a wing situation to his right. He's going to turn, pitch it out right to that right side, gets an edge. Good blocking there as Bryce Franzoni breaks down along with Jackson Chang for a good tackle, and that is about a pickup of one, if anything, there.
Completely bottled up.
Completely. He really, I mean, it was Chandler Wyatt trying to get the edge, the 6'4 senior receiver, and everywhere he looked was completely stuffed from that Saifaw defense.
You remember when we played, it was a big thing with Saifaw football. One guy pops him, we got to get the rest of the helmets on that ball, and that's just what they did. They, as soon as one guy hit him, the rest of the team was on him. That was good football.
Definitely. We said Saifaw has quite the task here. Well, Marshfield is sitting 3rd and long here, Niblett out of the gun. He's got it back to his right, breaks down, drops back, looks right. He's going to throw, and he's got a wide-open receiver. That's number 24, Jaden Tice, with a wide-open touchdown reception, and that's about a 19-yard pass from Enoch Niblett to Tice for the Marshfield Pirate touchdown as the cannon fires off once again here at Pete Sussex Stadium. Score of 19-8.
Tice was blocking, and he just leaked out, and there was just no one there.
Yeah.
Everybody crashed on the ball.
And, again, I mean, I think everybody just thought he was going to go ahead and keep it. We've got Mallory Ed back in to kick. Looks like they decided to go against what they did, and that one is not caught by the holder. Goes through his hands. He goes to throw it, and it goes backwards. It's like he's going to scoop it. Almost able to break free. And tackled there by the holder, Enoch Niblett, and just a little bit of the dropsies for punters and holders so far tonight. And Saifaw almost scooped and scored it for a couple points there, but unable to do so.
Yeah, seeing how fast Tom Morgan has been tonight too, man. If he wasn't there, he was gone. It was nothing but green grass in front of him.
Yeah, and heads up play, Enoch Niblett, instead of slamming his hands into the ground, upset for not catching that, he's able to get a shoestring tackle and hold Tom Morgan back from taking that thing about 75 yards. So unable to convert here for the Pirates once again on those PATs, but they've got a lead here of 19-8. We're going to take a quick 30-second break and be right back. Welcome back to Coos Bay, Oregon. We have the Marshfield Pirates taking on the Saifaw Vikings on the road tonight with a score of 19-8 with 8 minutes and 45 seconds left here in the second quarter. Baker here set to kick off, and he squibs it up the middle again. That time it's going to trickle right to Tom Morgan, who catches it, goes up the gut, kind of runs right at number 34 of this Pirates team. Pretty solid return, and a couple of Pirates saying they got topped up the ball there, but Saifaw is going to retain possession, take over on their own 27-yard line. What would you say to the key to this offense is right now, Michael?
I think they got to keep doing what they're doing. I think they're running the ball well. I think they just got to make some smart decisions here. Not too many penalties. I expected more. I'd like to see them get it up in the air maybe. We've only seen that a couple times. So I think they got to just keep doing what they're doing and just minimize mistakes and I think we'll have a good turnout.
Yeah, most definitely. Plenty of time, plenty of football game to be played here. Blankenship's going to be under center. Two backs in the backfield with Gray and with Johnson and Gray. He's going to hand it. That's Gray right up the gut for a solid chunk there. And he's going to get just enough to get a first down, 10-yard carry there.
Just like that. I mean, it's plays like that. You just got to keep doing it and run that defensive line into the ground.
Yeah, most definitely. And Blankenship and this Vikings offense quick to get back onto the ball. Marshfield scrambling a little bit to get set. Blankenship takes the snap right up the gut again. That's Gray and fighting for a couple of yards here. He's going to get about 3 yards on that carry. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, they just
same play there.
Picked up 10 yards. Let's get back on the ball and try to ram it down their throat again.
I agree with the call. It's a good method.
Yeah, and one thing this team offers is, you know, you've had a coaching staff that's been around with these players for so long. You know, everybody's calm now. You might be down two scores, but no need to panic yet.
Yep.
Blankenship under center. One tight end, 10 up to his left. He's going to turn, hand it up the gut. That's going to be Will Johnson breaking tackles, and he's got a good, solid chunk there, about an 11-yard carry. And we have another Pirate.
Same player.
Same player, yeah. Captain Caleb Bach for this Pirates team, and he's down right on the M of the Pirates logo here. And he's pulled back up, and a little gingerly here getting up as some trainers come to his aid.
He's nursing that same leg.
Yeah.
Man, what a run, though. I mean, I think that was at least three, maybe four broken tackles off the line.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, the senior class. They've been doing this for so many years together growing up and whatnot, but something that's changed is their maturity, and obviously they've put some muscle on over these years as well, and Will Johnson showing it there by breaking a few tackles on a nice 11-yard carry. And Saisaw's going to have the ball on the Pirates 49-yard line, 7:30 left in this second quarter, 19-8 down to these Pirates here on the road. Blankenship going under center once again, two backs in the backfield with Gray and Johnson. Turns, takes the snap, he looks to throw it, he's going to keep it himself and get bottled up. That's another sack and about a loss of two for him. And, you know, are they saying there was a turnover there?
I think Marshall got the ball. I didn't see it. The pole's in the way right here.
I didn't see it either. We've got a pole right in our way, and it didn't look, you know, there was nothing too egregious about it. He decided to tuck it and keep it himself, but once again, the third turnover for this Vikings team.
Man.
Yeah, you just got to keep, you know, you've worked all offseason for this. You know the plays. You just got to stay calm and stay to the course there. And it's a little hard to do when there's been three turnovers so far, all within their own territory.
Yeah.
Niblett out of the gun. Class receives the ball. He's going to be looking deep. He's going to chuck it that one to the right side. And Michael Blankenship goes the way they would. That's going to be number five, Lane Olsen breaking that one for a 50-yard touchdown. And my goodness, those turnovers will kill you as Blankenship tried making the tackle and instead of wrapping up, goes to lay the wood with his shoulder. And that's Lane Olsen making a pay for it with a 50-yard touchdown as the Cannon fires once again here with a score of 25-8. And, boy, Marshfield's really turning on the Jets right now.
Yeah, it's called momentum football for a reason. Saisaw's got to do something here to change the tides. Like you said, I mean, he lowered his shoulder. He's going for the big hit stick. Unfortunately, that only works so many times, and he capitalized on it for sure.
Yeah, breaking down and tackling is about as effective as a hit as possible. It may not make a highlight reel, but boy, will it make all the difference in the world. And it's, you know, Blankenship's just got to bounce back mentally. He'll be fine here. Not worried at all. He's a smart kid. They're going to go for two here, and that's going to be Enoch Niblett taking it up the gut. He's going to be just short of the line of scrimmage, and well, that's four touchdowns tonight for these Pirates. They've gone for it twice for the 2-point conversion, three of those, and 0-for-3. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter when the score right now is sitting at 25-8 for these Pirates in the lead with 7 minutes and 7 seconds left here in the second quarter. And we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. Welcome back to Coos Bay, Oregon, here with 7 minutes and 7 seconds left in the second quarter. Pirates have the lead right now, 25-8, as we have Johnson and Morgan back set deep to return for this Vikings team. And we're going to turn things around here and get a big chunk spark play here for this Vikings offense as Baker kicks it, kind of squibs it. That's going to be number 8, Gray, taking it, jumps over a guy, gets to the edge and hits get hit out of bounds at about the 46-yard line. Really good heads-up return there for the that's going to be
Caleb Gray
there, one of the Gray twins there. Both are juniors, and good heads-up athletic play out of him to kind of make a man miss and gain a couple yards out of it.
Put them in good position here. They got to capitalize.
Vikings take over on their own 45-yard line, first and 10, 7 minutes and 2 seconds left here. Looking to get some points on the board quickly. Obviously, plenty of football game to be played left, but you got to start scoring.
I'd be curious to see if Sam wants to do something big here.
Yeah, I don't know. You got plenty of time to get a score or two before half, ideally, and then all of a sudden this game looks a little bit different. So a lot of game to be played. I don't see them going away from handing the ball off and trying to go back to their roots here. Blankenship kind of refs waiting here, not sure what they're waiting on, standing at the line of scrimmage by the ball.
Seems to be an issue with the chains.
Oh, yeah. Chains are trying to catch up here as the refs are...
They might be tied to the ground, folks. I don't know.
Kind of unscrambling things here.
The chain got knotted.
Yeah, and I guess, obviously at the NFL level, these things are pretty well ironed out, but they've obviously moved to that, the technology to measure now and don't have that yet at the high school level. It's probably quite a ways out.
Might have 9-yard chains instead of 10.
And Blankenship's going to be taking over under center. He's going to turn, hand it off again. No, he keeps it. He's going out the left side. He's got the wheel. He gets the edge. He's got Ray walking out in front of him. He's going to be at the 35 and tackled at about the 33-yard line with a good chunk there from Blankenship. And that's what you need.
That's the beauty of the beer right there.
100%. Great read out of him, but he just fumbled on the last drive. You know, some players might be a little bit tense there, ready to get the ball out of their hands quickly and not make another mistake. Not Micah Blankenship with that seniority he has to just take the ball and make it happen himself. He's going to be under center again here, one back in the backfield. That's Dylan Gray. He's going to turn, hand it to Gray. Gray bounces it outside.
That's fine.
Another good chunk there on first down. You'll take 5 yards on first down all day. It's going to be second and 5 here. Clock's ticking with 6.5 left in the second quarter.
This is where it happens. This is where the momentum starts to roll.
Yeah, and you just got to keep building on it and eliminate those little errors that have been a thorn in this Vikings team's side so far tonight. And nice thing is they're not stressed to get on the ball. There seems to be very little stress on them at all as Blankenship gets back under center, takes snap, turns, hands it up the gut. That's going to be Johnson, and springs it pretty quickly for about a 10-yard gain. Really good push up front to make that thing happen.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I was watching the line there, and he kind of just slithered through. I didn't see too much collapsing happening. He was just so quick to get through there that the second level of the linebackers didn't really see him coming.
Yeah, and, I mean, Will Johnson, one of the better athletes that baseball has seen in years, not just on the football field, track, everything else he does is very athletic, and he showed that there. Blankenship back under center, two in the backfield. And we got an early whistle, potential false start here from this Vikings team as we have some yellow flags out on the field. Vikings getting, referees getting together to kind of figure things out here.
Offside.
Yep. That's going to be against the Vikings. They're going to push it back 5 yards, and gosh, those are just killers. You know, you get down in the red zone here, first and 10, fresh set of downs, and then all of a sudden you're looking at first and 15 to convert a first down.
Yep.
And ball, that's going to move the ball back to about the 22-yard line of the Marshfield territory. 5:20 and counting, ticking down here on the clock in the second quarter. Blankenship under center, points out what might be the Mike linebacker, two backers in the backfield. Turns, gives it. That's going to be Gray off the outside. He's going to get the edge, and he is absolutely stuck right about the original line of scrimmage by the Pirates. That's going to be number 22, Brody Ramey, on the tackle, the senior. And this is a senior-heavy squad, 15 seniors. And that's hard to – I mean, that's a lot of – And we're going to take a quick break. Sorry to interrupt there. We're going to take a quick break and – hear from our sponsors here as Dice Law takes a timeout. We're back here on Coast Radio Sports, where the Vikings have a 2nd and 10 on the Marshfield Pirates 17. Blankenship under center, turns, takes the ball. Going to cut it up himself, and a pretty good chunk there. Almost a miscommunication in the backfield, potentially, and turns it up himself.
We got a flag.
And another flag on the ground here. And good run there out of Blankenship. 2nd and 10, gets it about four yards. It's a more manageable, obviously, third down conversion here. And you got to know Coach Sam Johnson, whatever happens here, they're likely to go for it on fourth. If need be, obviously. Personal foul on the Vikings. Didn't give a hand signal for what it was.
Yeah.
We were told there was the refs were going to be mic'd up tonight. But either way, just another costly mistake there for the Vikings as they got another personal foul. And that's going to back them up to about the 26-yard line. So third and about 20 here. Just not what you want to hear when you had a 1st and 10 on the about 13-yard line. Blankenship's going to be under center here. Ray and Johnson in the backfield. He's going to look back, drop. He's going to turn, look to throw to his left, scrambling out to his left, decides to keep it. He's got some blocking, making men miss left and right. That's 5 missed tackles. And he is absolutely stuck there at about the 25-yard line. And
he did all he could do.
Did about all he could do. And like you know, I mean, your cousin, Michael Felkins, last year was Blankenship's go-to guy in those situations.
Yep.
Just kind of chuck it up and know where he's going to be.
Yep.
So some growing pains here for the Vikings offense as he needs to find that number one receiver again. But timeout, Faisal, and we're going to go ahead and take one ourselves here on Coast Radio Sports. Welcome back to Coos Bay, Oregon, where the Faisal Vikings have the ball with a 4th and about 15. To go here on the 20-yard line. Blankenship out of the gun, looks, throws it to the flat, and that's going to be incomplete. That ball is going backwards. That's going to be a fumble. And they're going to call that incomplete. Completely lucky there for the Vikings as that ball was 100% going backwards and a fumble. But at the end of the day, Marshfield's going to take over again with the 4th turnover, 2 on downs, 2 on the ground, fumbling it for this Vikings offense tonight. Ball's going to be spotted on the Pirates' 25-yard line. 3 minutes and 52 seconds left here in the 2nd quarter. Score, Pirates 25, Saislaw 8. And not ideal, obviously.
Yeah, bubble screen there. I mean, even if he puts it on the numbers, there was defenders there, so I don't know if it would have worked.
And it was backwards enough. I almost wonder if it was intended to be a double pass there, but Niblett, working out of the gun again, sends Lane Olsen in motion, hands it to him out the outside. He's going to the left. He's going, hits his own receiver, and pretty good chunk there. What out wider than he maybe should have. Gets about 6 yards, 7 yards, make it 8 on that carry for Lane Olsen. Boy, are they just, you know, it's not a whole lot of creativity out of this Pirates play calling so far. They've just done what they do well.
Yeah, 3 minutes left. I expect them to do a lot of running here. They're going to try and eat this clock as much as they can with the lead they have going into half.
Definitely. Niblett working out of the gun, looking to the sideline once again. He's got 3 receivers in a bunch formation outright. He's going to send number 23, Caleb Fox, to his right side, who's back in the game after going down for the 2nd time. And he's got 1 receiver out to his left, split out wide. Cops for the ball, receives it. Looks, throws it to the flat. That's going to be number 3 there, and he is absolutely stuck after he's able to pick up the 1st down. That's Hayden Whittycomb, the speedster there, who catches it in the flat, picks up the 1st down with about a 5-yard, 6-yard gain for that Marshfield Pirates offense.
There's number 5, Will Johnson, again on the tackle.
Yep. Clock continues ticking here. 2:45 left in the half. Pirates sitting on their own 38-yard line. Once again, Enoch Niblett working out of the gun in no hurry here. As Michael Mason said, just chewing up clock. 2 receivers out to his right, 2 to the left, 1 backfield and 1 running back in the backfield. Takes the snap, pitches it out. That's going to be number 3 again. Whittycomb around the outside, hits the edge, and pretty short gain there considering how they've been doing offensively. That's about a 3-yard carry for Whittycomb.
Jake Mann on the tackle there. He did a great job containing the outside with a guy that quick and a flea flicker. type deal they ran just now. I mean, that's just a great all-around play by Jake Mann.
Yeah, most definitely. And Enoch's going to be working out of the gun here. Blankenship shows blitz potentially, drops back in coverage. He's going to look to throw it to the right. He's going to got a receiver out in the flat. That's Whittycomb again. He hits the edge and a good chunk play as Will Johnson knocks him out of the bound, out of bounds. It's going to be about a 17-yard gain. And again, chunk play, chunk play, chunk play. It's just been multiple here for this Pirates team, showing off the speed that we talked about many times.
Yeah, they keep getting the outside.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't pushed the ball downfield through the air more than 7 yards through the air, which turned into a touchdown in itself. But a lot of things thrown at the line of scrimmage and a lot of motion, handing it out of the backfield to those receivers and just being able to turn on the jets and hit the corner.
Yep.
We got Enoch out of the gun again. Two receivers to his left. One comes in motion. Again, that's Whittycomb. Pitch to him. Hands it up the gut. That's going to be number 23 up the gut. Another good chunk gain there by number 23, Caleb Box, the captain for this Pirates team. One of the captains for this Pirates team, and that's going to be about a nine and a half yard gain. They have second and inches as we've got a timeout on the field by the Pirates. And again, we're going to take our own here down in Coos Bay, Oregon. Vikings down 25-8 with a minute 26 seconds left in the half. Welcome back to Coos Bay, Oregon. We just missed the tail end of a play there. I may have spoke a little bit too long before that break there, but Enoch Niblett was able to hit his receiver out wide for about a 10-yard gain there. Really good throw on the run. Right-handed quarterback rolling to his left, and that's a hard throw to make.
Yeah, they're just marching.
Yep.
It only takes one play, though.
Minute 20 seconds left here in the half. Clock stopped as he is pushed out of bounds on that far side. Didn't see who the defender was. Working out of the gun now. Trips to his right. He rolls right now, looking to air it out. He's got a receiver deep. He throws it, and that is just thrown behind the receiver. That was Whittycomb in the end zone, wide open, and there's just some miscommunications going on tonight in that secondary for this Vikings team. Many receivers have been seen wide open, just kind of chilling in that end zone for a little bit.
Well, not only that, how many times have we said the name Whittycomb?
Yeah.
I mean, they got to get him covered.
Yeah, and we were talking during the break. He said this is a good Marshfield team, and Marshfield is just known for having athletes, and John Lamond, their head coach, is taking full advantage of having those guys who are able to create some stuff happen in space.
Yep.
Here we go again.
I wouldn't be surprised if they try and roll out again.
Yep, Enoch working out of the gun, bunch to his right, running back in the backfield to his right. Going to be kind of a reverse play here. And that is Jacob Mann with a big old stop there.
Beautiful.
It's going to be about a 6-yard loss as he broke down and did not fool him at all on that. Was wide, I mean, all alone by himself on that side of the field. And if he doesn't make that tackle, that's 6 points potentially.
That was a beautiful job by Jake Mann there.
Yeah.
Mike. I mean, that big body to break down like that and look that athletic, that was a great play.
And I don't know if you know his background, but he is one of the best wrestlers in the state, and he showed it there with kind of the double leg takedown. And obviously in wrestling, you have a smaller circle to make that happen. In football, you've got a pretty expansive field to make that happen in, and he showed the athleticism there to break down. And I know
as a form tackle.
Yeah,
that's what we talked about earlier.
Coach Wartnick would be in his corner screaming out of excitement with that takedown right there. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
And again, ref kind of talking things over here. Coach Sam Johnson in their ear.
I don't know if they're talking about the spot here. I did hear a whistle. I didn't see any laundry, but
I didn't either. But Coach Sam Johnson, he gets quite the workout in there, talking to the refs back and forth down the sideline all throughout these games here.
Passion.
I think the refs maybe roll their eyes when they see that they have to ref for Saiskaw on Friday night.
Passion.
Yeah, I mean, he's got it. That's something he's always had, and I know these players feel it week in and week out. He just cares so much about them.
We do have a call here. I don't.
And whatever it was, they didn't really show it too well, but it was declined according to the PA announcer, whatever it was. Don't think he knew either. But 6 yard loss there. It's going to be second and 16 for this Pirates team. Niblett out of the gun. Three receivers out to his right, two to the left. He's got an empty set here. He's going to be rolling right, looking right, throwing right. And now he's going to be picked off. That is Tom Morgan with the interception on the 10 yard line. And that was thrown directly to him. number seven for this Pirates team, Devin Peterson, throwing his hands up like, dude, I'm wearing purple.
Yeah.
That was thrown right to Tom Morgan. Saikov is going to take over right on the 10-yard line with 41 seconds left in the half. And, you know, it may not feel like a huge play with the score being 25-8, but stopping this from getting potentially out of hand before the half, that's huge.
Especially, yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, it only takes one play here in the red zone. I mean, and like you said, it's momentum football. Even if they don't score off of this, it's going to set the mood going into the second half for sure.
Most definitely. And Blankenship's going to be working under center again here. He's going to turn and hand it. That's going to be Will Johnson up the gut. He busts it to the outside. He's going. He's got the edge. He's going. He's doubling. He's got it. 40. Out to the 45-yard line of these Pirates. Little run out of Will Johnson. Oh, man, did I think he was free there.
It was close. It was a couple little ankle biters that slowed him up.
Oh, my goodness. What a run, though. You just talk about getting things going in momentum football like you were just talking about there, Mike. And
that's a 10-second play and a lot of yards. Yeah. I mean, they can make something happen here.
And I think this Pirates team was thinking that they were going to be airing it out there.
Yep.
And Will Johnson, before they knew it, recognized that it was a run, was already downfield a good chunk, and he's going to stay in. Blankenship now working out of the gun, only for the second or third time tonight. Saislaw down 25-8 here in the last second of the first half. He's going to be working out of the gun. Two receivers out to the left and right. Drops back, rolls left. Left-handed quarterback looking deep. He throws it deep. And just a miscommunication there as Will Johnson turned about 15, 20 yards upfield, kind of a real deep curl route, and Blankenship just aired it over his head about 10 yards. I think he just expected Johnson to keep running.
I don't know if he tripped on number six there for the Pirates. That's Carter McGriff playing corner there. It looked like when he turned back around to go upfield, he might have tripped or got hung up a little.
Yeah, I think what happened is McGriff was not expecting him to turn that into a deep curl route and was kind of beat deep. And when Johnson turned around to catch that ball, it just ran into him, but it was deemed probably uncatchable and no passing interference was called there.
Yeah.
Blankenship under center again, two backs in the backfield, turns, hands it up the gut again. That's going to be Gray this time. And about a 5-yard gain, and we've got a timeout on the field. That's going to be taken by the Vikings here, and we're going to take our own here on Coast Radio Sports. Back to the action quickly here in Coos Bay, Oregon, as Blankenship's going to be working out of the gun. One back to his right, three receivers to the right, rolling to his right, throws to the right. He's got a receiver out, and that's going to be...
He drug his toes. He got
a toe-tap catch for Bryce Randoni, the senior tight end, and that ball is going to be moving down to about the 36-yard line of this Marshfield Pirates territory. 14 seconds left, and...
That was textbook.
And it's so hard as a left-handed quarterback to roll right and throw across his body. But, boy, did he put that on the money for Bryce Branzoni.
Right where it needed to be.
Exactly.
Beautiful catch.
We got a wide set here. We got one running back in the backfield in Dylan Gray. Trips out to the left. One receiver to the right for Blankenship out of the gun. Gets the snap, rolls left, looks left, pumps fake, pump fakes. Got a receiver deep. And that is going to be just thrown inside a little bit too far. He had number 15 for this Vikings team, Jericho Lake, the sophomore, and just kind of threw it a little bit too far inside of him where Lake wasn't able to work in and make it happen.
Yeah, it looked like Carter McGriff with Marshfield again. I said his name earlier. It looked like he closed him off pretty well there.
Yeah, and potential there for an interception thrown quite inside of him by about 6 yards where the safety was coming over to help, and I just don't know if he turned around and got his eyes on the ball quickly enough, but... Saislaw will retain the ball with 8 seconds left here in the half. Ball on the 37-yard line. Blankenship out of the gun. Three receivers to his left. Looks, quick throw to the right. He's got a receiver and just overthrows him. That was Tom Morgan down the sideline, and that just never had a chance. It was about 4 yards out of bounds where Morgan wasn't going to be able to come up with it.
You know, I played quarterback my sophomore year, but I didn't do much with it. That fade route's really hard to throw, I'll tell you.
Yeah. It's why we're up in the booth calling him right now and not getting ready to prepare for a game on Sunday here.
That's a tough throw to make on tight coverage like that, too.
Most definitely. Well, we got Blankenship still out of the gun. 3 seconds left here. Three receivers to his left, one to the right, Gray in the backfield. Takes the snap, kind of throws up a prayer down the right sideline, and that's potentially passing interference. And we're going to get no call there. I just don't think it was deemed uncatchable again. Wasn't really thrown close enough to the receiver. He was kind of drugged down there by the defensive back. But that's going to do it for the half here in Coos Bay, Oregon, as the sun has started to fade 25-8 is the score here as both teams head to their locker rooms, and there's going to be some adjustments made, but we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors, and we're going to be back after this to go through the Les Schwab Tire Halftime Show. Welcome back for the halftime show here with the Les Schwab Tire Report. And we're here at the halftime. We're going to go around the Far West League real quick and get into what games are going around the state right now. Brookings Harbor is taking on the Phoenix Pirates at home for their opener tonight. The Kokio Red Devils are on the road in Southern Oregon at the North Valley Knights, which is a name that is familiar, both of those, to the Sunnyslaw Vikings. The Douglas Trojans are at Cascade Christian tonight for a tough matchup on the road. South Umpqua Lancers are taking on the Pirates of Dayton. And last but not least, the Sutherland Bulldogs right now have a lead over the Crestwell Bulldogs of 13-7. All those games are season openers, and scores will be updated on the OSAA.org website as those games go final this evening. Around Sunnyslaw sports this week, we have the volleyball team has jumped out and kicked off their season. The Vikings volleyball has started this season 1-2 with losses against Pleasant Hill and North Bend Bulldogs, but picked up a win just the other day against the Hidden Valley, against Hidden Valley in their most recent match, 3-1. Their next match will take place on Tuesday the 9th, where they will be traveling to Bandon to play two matches against the Bandon and the Brookings Harbor Bruins. The coaches this season for the varsity squad are Mackenzie Perry as the head coach and both Mia Collins and Shayla Ford as her assistant. For Sunnyslaw soccer, both teams have jumped out to a hot start. Sunnyslaw girls are tied for fourth in the state for the 1A, 2A, and 3A classification with a record of 1-0. And they opened their season with a strong win at home on Tuesday, where they beat Sweet Home with a final score of 6-1. Their next match will be this Tuesday at home, where they will be hosting Central Lynn at 6:30 p.m. The Sunnyslaw girls soccer team is coached by Amy Tregoning. Amy Tregoning with her assistants Alice Lopez, and John Rogerson, and Taylor Spencer. The boys soccer team has also jumped out to a clean slate with a 1-0 start, with a win coming on the road this last Tuesday, where they beat Sweet Home with a barrage of goals with a final score of 8-1. That was 7-0 at the half on that one. The next matchup for the boys Vikings team is scheduled for tomorrow at home in a non-league matchup with the Dayton Pirates. The Sunnyslaw boys are coached by head coach Londi and her assistants Justin Linton, Nyra Campbell, and Robbie Wright of Hayek. Sunnyslaw boys and girls cross country starts their season off today at the Fugit Farms invite, where both boys and girls teams will be competing in the 5K race. I do not have updated results on that one as it took place today and was on the road down to Coos Bay to see Michael Mason's beautiful face, who joins me in the booth tonight. But with the boys and girls track record and how well they seem to run year in and year out, I'm sure they fared pretty well there. And I believe both teams are, yes, they are. They are up in the crowd there in the away section for the Vikings, cheering them on their way back to Florence tonight. So really cool to see them to come out and support this Vikings football team. The college level, we have Oregon and Oregon State both playing tomorrow, with the Ducks hosting Oklahoma State Cowboys at Autzen Stadium, with both teams entering that game 1-0. Kickoff is set for 12:30 and will go live on at 11 a.m. on KCST on 106.9. The Beavers are hosting the Fresno State Bulldogs tomorrow at Reacher Stadium, where the Beavers are looking to notch their first win of the season in their home opener. I know Sunnyslaw alum Brad Snow will be paying close attention to that one, as he's a fan of both the Bulldogs and the Beavers. Kickoff is set for 12:30 on that one, and we'll go live on KCFM 104.1 and 103.1 at 11:30. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break and talk the first half. I would say take the first half numbers with Michael here, but me being my first game as the play-by-play broadcaster, that's typically my job, and I was so wrapped up with what I was doing that I forgot to ask him to do that. So I will take the blame on that one, and next week we'll have some numbers to go over at the halftime. But I know that's a kind of a fun thing to look at here, but we'll do that, talk a little bit about the game, and we'll be back after this quick break from our sponsors. Welcome back to Pete Sussex Stadium here. Baseball Vikings are down 25-8 here at the half. We had the Marshfield Pirates dance team out who did a wonderful set there, and now they're out honoring some Marshfield Pirate alum. But let's talk about this football game, Mike. What did you see there? What were kind of the noteworthy things from that first half, and what adjustments do you go in that locker room and make if you're that safe loss team?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have hard stats, but we do have some hard names that we heard quite a bit tonight. Enoch Niblett and Hayden Whittycomb for Marshfield. We just kept saying their names, I think, and their names are being said, frankly, in the Sayusla locker room right now by Sam. Just they got to lock them down. And as far as our side goes, Bryce Franzoni, Will Johnson, Micah, they're all playing well. It looks like they have a good run game established. I think they need to establish the pass a little bit more to just try and get some big chunk plays going. They're doing okay with the run. But this Marshfield defense has been tough, and they're playing really well. They're containing the outside. If they can just keep running up the gut like they are and then getting those few chunk plays and establishing the pass, I think it's a good recipe. I think we both know, and everyone listening that is a true Sayusa fan knows that, I mean, we are and always have been a second-half football team. So I think that's what Sam's touching on. He just is touching on the conditioning and not giving up, and they just got to keep establishing dominance.
Yeah, I think most definitely. I think those guys are in that locker room kind of looking around like, well, we've got our back against the walls here, and, you know, Coach Sam Johnson talked about last night on the point after that we're going to face adversity as a football team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some games it may feel bigger than other times, but we got to respond to it. We got to regroup and kind of fight together as one team. And we're going to have guys getting chippy together against each other. But, you know, right now, whether you like it or not, there are some senior leaders being made in that locker room.
No.
You know, there's always some good things that are going to be able to come out from first half like that, where you can look around and really start kind of showing who those captains are and why those team or their teammates voted for them to be captains of this football team. But
yeah.
I agree with you. Don't go away from the run here. It's 25-8. It's not the end of the world. Obviously two turnovers on downs and two fumbles for that Viking squad on offense. It hurts a lot, especially when two of those, they went and scored right away. One of them on the very next play to Lane Olson on the pass over the top. And it's just one of those things that turnovers are going to happen.
They're going to happen, and especially week one. You're talking about facing adversity, and they're never going to face more than they are in a week one game. Like we keep beating a dead horse here, but there's a lot to iron out. And like you said, leaders are being picked in that locker room right now. You know, from a player standpoint, you remember going in at halftime, if we were down big, the coaches are all going to do their barking, which they need to. It's when the coaches leave and you got those core guys that are going to come up and be like, hey, man, we're good. Pick your head up. We got a whole half of football left. And we just got to keep bringing it. They know they're probably a more conditioned team, harder hitting. And I mean, I might be biased, but a whole lot more heart with that gold helmet on their head. So I think they have what it takes. They got to tie the boots and do it.
Yeah, most definitely. And the Pirates team comes back out with about 3 minutes and 18 seconds left on the clock. And Vikings team still up in the locker room. And that's exactly what they're doing right now, is looking at each other and saying, let's go out there and then punch them in the mouth.
Yeah.
You know, obviously not go out there and actually punch them.
No.
Not face-off football, but let's go out there and make a statement out early in this half. And they think they've already got us rolling over here, and that's just not Sayusa football.
Yeah, like Coach Johnson always taught us, or Dotson, excuse me. You know, you pop someone hard, and then you offer to help them up.
Yeah. And you know, we're going to see a good second half here of football, and I'm sure that there are going to be less mistakes down the stretch here. But we're going to go ahead and take one more break here before the end of the half, and we'll see Sayusa take the field here shortly, and we'll wrap up the halftime show, and then we'll kick off the second half. Welcome back to Pete Sussex Stadium here in Coos Bay, Oregon. Again, the Sayusa Vikings are down here tonight, 25-8 to these Marshfield Pirates. And Marshfield here on the sideline getting loose. They have been for the last couple minutes now, and Sayusa's just mustering here in the corner of the end zone, about to take the field together as a team. And, you know, again, we just got to, Sisal has to go out there, iron out those mistakes, and just play hard-nosed football like we know them to do. But it's completely dark here. The lights are on and bright as ever here, and football is officially back, and it's good to see the Vikings back in the gold helmet, like you said.
What a perfect night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Only thing that could make it better is maybe flipping that score around or going out here and scoring some points in the second half of this Vikings team. But it's a comfortable 61 degrees here. Michael and I are tucked away up in a nice warm and cozy booth. I'd like to be able to cash in on this later in the season when I'll be sitting out in the rain on the road somewhere. But, we're blessed. Marshfield's been very, very